Hi, I'm Bruce Bakey from Invenio, and once again, my talk is more about the methods and methodology, how to deploy this network than the technical side, but I wanted to share with you more the cultural and social and economic issues in doing rural broadband deployments. Invenio is a company about 6 years old, a nonprofit NGO, and our mission is actually is extending internet into difficult areas and places. One of the large projects we just recently finished was putting broadband capability into the refugee camps along in northern Kenya along the Somali border, where there's 600,000 refugees. A lot of NGOs were and aid agencies were working there, but they couldn't communicate with each other. And the cell phone network there, of course, was only 2G, so there's no ability to do for them to communicate other than voice. And so there was a big need not only to communicate out to their donors and other people, but also between each other. But one of the models that we've been working on that we're deploying in other networks now is what developed out of this initiative out of Haiti. Haiti is kind of interesting, and one of the questions earlier is how do you get started with these kind of projects? How do you find out about them? And so my work in Haiti actually started because of I was teaching a class on using solar energy for Wi-Fi networks in Rwanda, and one of the gentlemen that I met while I was there was working with the Minister of Education in Haiti. And he had an issue with all his rural schools, not only getting internet connectivity to them, but also how does he power the computers within the school. And so I launched a mentoring project for the Illinois Institute of Technology and also University of Colorado Boulder to actually design a system to solar charge 500 laptops at a school in Haiti and then take the engineering students there and actually deploy that system so they could see the challenges on the ground of doing work in a developing region. So we started the design of that project before the earthquake happened. The earthquake happened, then it got delayed for a year, and then we resumed that project and connected to this network that Invenio was working on building out in Haiti. So before the earthquake, Invenio started working with how to get broadband into these rural areas, but then the earthquake hit. And we were asked by NetHope, could we reestablish connectivity to the NGOs working in the Port-au-Prince area? Because after the earthquake hit, it severed all the communication lines, all the cell phone infrastructure went down, and all these NGOs were rushing to help the earthquake victims, but they had no way to communicate. There's no online maps available. Who was doing what where? Where were the resources? Where were the water supply? Where were the medical supplies? And so all the NGOs that were trying to help had no way to communicate to each other. So when the earthquake hit, we were asked, can we go and help reestablish communication between all the NGOs? And so we assembled a team, pulled together all the equipment that we needed. There's a gentleman out of Miami that flew air cargo that offered to take all the equipment into Haiti for free. So we put together about 3/4 of a ton of ICT equipment, Wi-Fi radios, etc., and had them airlifted into Port-au-Prince. And then about 8 days after that, we were able to reestablish connectivity to these NGOs using long-distance Wi-Fi connected to a VSAT to get information sharing between them. And so our whole goal, once again, was to reestablish communications. About 14 days after the earthquake hit, the telecom and the ISPs were able to get their normal broadband connectivity, and we connected, instead of through the VSAT, to that. And about 35 days after the earthquake, we had connected about 18 NGOs and about 35 locations for that. But while doing this work, how rewarding as it was, we also were thinking long-term, how do we help Haiti with broadband in the rural areas where it was lacking? Oops. Summit went too far. So some of the NGOs that were operating on the ground were, you know, a wide range of NGOs. And the real reason why they needed connectivity was, even though they were able to get the 2G phone service back up quite quickly, there's only so much you can do with voice. And so there, and one of the biggest needs was actually the mapping and topological information, getting real-time satellite images of the damage, be able to map where all these aid agencies were working, where water was available, food, medical supplies. There are so many NGOs that came in to help, but nobody knew what each other was doing. So it was critical from a field coordination standpoint on what was going on. And then, of course, there's a huge media outreach, people wanting to know what was going on, who was there helping, how was the help going. So these were the reasons they were looking for high-quality broadband connectivity into their operations. And then, of course, communication with staff, both for safety and security reasons. So the network that we built out actually looked like this. As we went out and connected the NGOs, we built point-to-point Wi-Fi links from two main internet sources and built those networks out to extend to these 35 locations. And so it was interesting at first because the current ISPs and service providers viewed us as, well, how can you build out this competitive network? And as when they're scrambling to put up their own network. It was interesting from a cultural standpoint to convince them, well, this is, you know, only short term to help these people communicate during this difficult period. As the year unfolded and as the connectivity with Port-au-Prince got better, we started looking long term. How can we help the rural regions within Haiti build back? And so what we wanted to take a look at is how could we get more broadband in the rural areas? Because also what happened in the earthquake, especially as the rural areas were cut off, they had a big influx of people also to into Port-au-Prince for job and economic reasons. And so we're looking at, you know, how can we economically put broadband into these underserved regions? There's a lot of NGOs also, as well as healthcare and hospitals and schools, like the school I mentioned I was working with earlier, that could use a high-quality broadband. Once again, as we started looking at how do we build these networks out in the rural areas, took a lot of convincing with the local ISPs and wireless carriers. We weren't coming in to be an ISP to compete. We're not coming in to be a service provider, but how can we help them build infrastructure to get those services out in a local region? But also what was key to us and has always been the Invinio model, how do we actually build local capacity, find local entrepreneurs in the rural areas where we could work with them and actually build a job that they could actually build their capability in those rural regions. As we find in most emerging economies, anybody with ICT skills move from the rural areas to the larger cities to find jobs and employment. And how can we actually help them build good quality ICT jobs in the rural areas? So we kind of viewed, you know, putting broadband into these rural areas that really, you know, helps that rural economic growth. And then allows ICT centers and connectivities to rural schools to happen easily. But our goal in Haiti was how could we do this in 12 to 18 months? So what we're trying to enable is, as we took a look at Haiti and the rural areas, you know, why was broadband needed? As we started talking with the ISPs and wireless carriers, you know, as in most emerging economies, the major cities, you have a lot of 3 and 4G capability, you have maybe DSL available, you have high-speed wireless available, either through WiMAX or Wi-Fi access. But once you leave 5 to 10 kilometers out of those major cities, there's nothing. You have 2G phone service, and there's no broadband capability at all. However, as you start taking a look at rural hospitals and schools, NGOs that are working there, government agencies, et cetera, there is quite a large need for good quality broadband in those rural regions, but it's areas that are being underserved. And so as we started talking to the ISPs and wireless carriers in Haiti, they just didn't believe there was business in those rural areas, so they weren't investing infrastructure. They saw all their business in the metropolitan areas, and they focused all their efforts there. And so so part of this was really, can we prove to the ISPs and carriers there is quality customers and business in those rural areas? So as part of the project, what we did is we took a look at 6 rural areas that were either the hardest hit from the earthquake standpoint or internally displaced people, that people were leaving those regions because of economic reasons that they would have to go to the larger city like Port-au-Prince to actually find employment and jobs. And so we took a look at these 6 regions within Haiti and looked at is there anchor customers, meaning schools that could afford a broadband connection, or a hospital healthcare clinic, or maybe there's a large NGO working in that area that could be an anchor customer to provide a starting point for internet connection. And so taking a look at all these communities where these factors were in place, we identified 6 key rural areas that we could build out a low-cost but high-quality broadband network into these regions. And the school that I actually was working with is in Los Cabos, and this was the school where the electrical grid, after the earthquake, failed. And so that was the reason we're designing the solar-powered computer lab there. Well, more than a computer lab, they had 500 laptops in the school that were donated. And then when the earthquake hit, of course, they couldn't deploy them because they didn't have electricity, as well as there was no broadband to connect them at all to any kind of internet. And it's interesting even now that it's been several years since the earthquake, they're still having, they get power once a week for 2 hours, maybe on a Wednesday or Thursday at 2 a.m. So it's very unreliable power supply. But that's typical of what we found in all these rural regions, that there's both power issue as well as no broadband capability at all. So the initiative that we launched there, what we were tried to deliver in those 6 regions was high quality broadband access and really reach these 20 major population centers in the rural area and connect them to and deliver a good 1 meg quality broadband. The other approach we wanted to do was a shared network, but using low-cost technology. And what we've really seen the last 5 years emerge is that the use of Wi-Fi or point-to-point connectivity and some of the equipment coming out in the market, for example, what we used mainly in Haiti was from Ubiquiti Networks. You could buy a very high-quality, almost carrier-grade piece of equipment for under $100 for a Wi-Fi radio that used very low power, 10 watts. But we could build out a very economical backbone to get the connectivity to those regions. And when I say it was a shared capacity, what we wanted to do is team with the wireless carriers and the ISPs already operating and extend a broadband network to those rural regions and have them share in that connectivity. And so what was interesting as we, started working, everybody really viewed us as, well, you're going to compete against us. And we kept the convincing, one of the gentlemen on our staff, we call him now the ISP whisperer, because he could go in and deal and talk to the ISPs and the wireless carriers and really help them understand, we're not going to compete against you, we're actually going to help build capacity to customers you don't realize that you have or you have access to. And so the goal was to connect to their infrastructure in Port-au-Prince, extend that broadband using point-to-point Wi-Fi to the rural area, and then in the rural area, that last mile connectivity would be, they would sign the connectivity contract in that rural region. One of the other things we wanted to do is build up capacity with local entrepreneurs. What emerged out of this were both the wireless carriers and the ISPs. They didn't, you know, to send someone to a rural region within Haiti, for example, here's Port-au-Prince, but if they had a service delivery problem here, it could be 8 to 10 hours traveling by car to send a technician there. And so one of the goals with this program were to train local entrepreneurs that had ICT skills, that live in those rural regions, and could be a representative of the wireless carrier. And so the model that we put together there is they actually became sales agents that were on commission only. So when they sold a connectivity contract, that's the only time they were paid by the ISP or wireless carrier. And so what was interesting is then training these local entrepreneurs that they could go and sell a connectivity contract from. We partnered actually with two ISPs and the one wireless carrier. They could sell a connectivity contract from any one of those three providers. And so some of those providers had special deals for government, some had special deals for schools or small businesses. And so they could actually represent any one of those. Once they made that sale, then they would, let's say it was a one-year contract, they would get a monthly commission every time that customer paid their monthly bill. Yes? I've got a slide on that, on the actual results that we got. So, you know, our goal was to reach 200 customers, and a lot of those were NGOs, and to drive monthly revenue for the local entrepreneurs that were in the field. And so the big part of this was actually the back-end system that had to run the network and the training of the local entrepreneurs to do that last-mile connectivity to the customer. So once we've got all this agreement and people understood we're not building a network to compete against them, but they can actually share in, we did our pilot area, and this was back in August of 2010. Within 6 weeks, we had over 12 NGOs in that region connected as paying customers onto the network. And so one focus, because of this area is picked because there's a lot of NGOs that were focused on rebuilding, and once again there were anchor customers that could be relied upon. So the economic factors, of course, that each of these areas were driving a monthly contract depending on how much bandwidth that they wanted. And what really shocked the ISPs were, we put this low-cost network out to this region, and they, immediately signed up $100,000 of annual contracts, and it really opened up their eyes that there was business to be had in these rural regions. The challenge that they had, of course, if each ISP had to build out their own network to those rural regions, it wasn't economically viable. But if it was one backbone that was built out that they could share the bandwidth and with the other ISPs, then it became economically viable for them to participate in this kind of program. So the second phase was to start building this out in all the regions and training those local entrepreneurs. So we actually launched a program to find these local entrepreneurs, to put them through a training class not only on the wireless technology, but the bigger challenge was because they're tech savvy, they're not very business savvy or sales savvy, and really teach them entrepreneurial skills to support customers, to go out and find new customers to connect to the network, to work with the ISP or wireless carrier on their specific contracts that they offer, and train them on the business side of it, as well as connect additional 200 customers and NGOs within those other locations. We also received some funding through Microsoft to connect schools, and so taking 40 schools and putting broadband capability as well as computers in those schools and turn them into regional ICT learning centers. So as a result of all of this, what was, once again, all the ISPs really didn't, what they didn't see in the rural areas were what's being generated for this network is $1 million in income in these connectivity contracts in these rural regions. And so the ISPs and wireless carriers that came into it being very skeptical are now saying, well, how do we actually accelerate putting more of these networks into the rural regions? Because they see the economic capability. They now have these high-quality sales agents that are in the field that can represent them and bring them these new customers for very low cost to them. So the key things that really were driving this program were, one, the ability to identify anchor customers, whether it was the government, schools, healthcare clinics, or the NGOs that were working in those rural regions. The second piece of it was really the low-cost technology, taking existing Wi-Fi equipment that's, I'll say, near quick carrier grade, but also equipment that uses very low energy. These radios typically use 8 to 12 watts, which allows them very easily to be solar powered where in regions where energy is an issue. And because we're building this out as a shared network, it really reduces the capital and operating costs for these ISPs. And what's happened with that network in Haiti is we built it and we're running the network operations center. And where it was connecting on the back end to the ISP's networks within Port-au-Prince. Part of ours is to, really step back and say, okay, now ISPs, you run the network, you grow it, you decide where it's going to go from there. And we had really planned to exit Haiti, actually April this year, and allow the ISPs and the local entrepreneurs to continue to grow this. But it was interesting, they've asked us to stay involved as a third party to keep everybody honest, because what they're worried about is the wireless carrier or the one ISP would, force their influence and take advantage of the network that's being built out. So we've actually set up an organization to run and manage this shared open backbone, and each of the parties is on the board of it, as well as now Invinio, to assure that everything's built out on an equal basis, that one organization doesn't take advantage of the other. So that's been an interesting twist that they've wanted us to remain involved. The other important piece of this was the local capacity building, and in finding those local entrepreneurs, training them, and our original thought, we were going to train them on how do you do this Wi-Fi technology for last mile connectivity, and as we built the shared broadband out, to a radio point, and then from that radio down into the community, they'd install that last mile connectivity. But it really became more about teaching them how to be good business people and entrepreneurs to find and be able to go into, the school that I was helping with, and say, okay, I've put in the broadband capability. Oh, you're having problems with maintaining your laptops. I can actually come in and help you do that, and really help them be able to grow their business, not just from the connectivity, but more ICT within their local community. And so these were the four key things that we tried to achieve there. And now we're taking the same approach and building these networks out in places like Uganda and Kenya, using these four key fundamental approaches and building out these low-cost networks that are shared but have a high impact on the rural areas and bringing that connectivity to them. So I think I've come to the end of my time. Any questions?
How much do you think your experience is like translating? Are there things you need to be that might not translate, or is it fairly?
I think that in most cases they're fairly, they can be used in other regions. So we've actually had to modify this. We just recently deployed a similar project in Palestine, but the issue there was there's not multiple ISPs operating there and wireless carriers. There's one monopoly. And how do you work with one monopoly to put in a model where they, in the rural areas, they don't have local skills, but they don't want to hire people? There is a need in schools and other places for connectivity. And in that case, it took a whole different approach as far as deploying this type of network with one company. The other issue that we've had, of course, is in the local capacity building, once they've got these skills, quite a few of these have been hired by the ISPs and wireless carriers because they saw the skill set and they've moved them to the city. And so that's been a challenge. In that, while we train 60 people, there's probably 25 that really have taken off and built local ICT capability. One of them has actually built his own internet cafe where local people can come in. The next step in Haiti, there's two big pieces that we want to do. One is to build a better OSS BSS backend that's is not specific to one ISP or carrier, but can interface with their systems. And the other one that the wireless carriers and ISP would like to do are community hotspots. And how can someone, while an NGO or a school or a hospital can afford a point-to-point Wi-Fi link with a 1 megabyte or 2 or 3 megabyte service, a local person can't necessarily afford that monthly charge. In the case of the school that I was working with for the capacity to support those 500 laptops, it's $187 a month. While the school can almost afford that, a local person can't afford that. And so we're looking at how do we actually put in hotspots that can be paid for with cell phone minutes. So essentially, using their cell phone, they can say, okay, so many minutes equal an hour worth of Wi-Fi access on this hotspot. They can get a trade those minutes, get an access code, and then they can have access for, so let's say, an hour on a community hotspot. And so but that's all back-end OSS BSS work that will be our next phase in continuing this type of work in Haiti. So what's been set up is this, I'll call it a association that all the ISPs belong to. And so they pay based on how much connectivity they use across that shared backbone, and that percentage is what's used to maintain the network and to pay the staff of the network operations center. So a portion of So a portion of the bandwidth that they're using, the cost of that is they're charged a small percentage, and that's what does the maintenance of the backbone. Well, so right now it's these six major rural areas. So as you can see, there's a lot yet to cover. But the incentive now is now that these networks are out there, these other areas are also being. These networks are being extended now into these other areas as customers are saying, hey, you've got coverage here, but now can I have coverage in my location? And so we're seeing it now growing, or I'll say organically, as now that the network's there, the ISPs and wireless carrier are very actively wanting to expand the network. Well, I'll talk specifically because I've got firsthand knowledge in Los Cabos, for example. So from Mirabella's, a point-to-point link was put to a tower here. And so now from that one tower, it essentially in probably 80% of this community, which is about 14,000 people, they have Wi-Fi coverage. Or I should say, from that tower, we can do a point-to-point link. What's been link's been done to a local hospital, to a radio station, and the school that I was working with. So there's three links that are being supported. But once again, it's a this is a perfect place where to put, for example, a community hotspot where they could get low-cost access to the internet, because once again, a local person can't afford a monthly, but he can afford 1 hour a week to do his email, for example. And it's interesting, in here, there is no internet cafe in this city, so there's another perfect example where once the local entrepreneur that we're working with there builds up his business, that may be a model that he can put in place. But once again, he's an ICT guy. He doesn't know anything about running a business. And so there's additional work that needs to be done from an entrepreneurial training standpoint to help them do those type of things. Did that answer the question? So, if we look at, these major cities within this area, what's happened is the internet has been extended, and then point-to-point links to these major population centers. And so the coverage is there. If there's a customer that needs connectivity.